And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather this morning around this reading in Hebrews, and I'd like to focus on primarily one verse, but taking in the words Jesus has shared with us today, as well as the rest of the reading from Hebrews 11. But verse 1 reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And so we focus upon those seemingly simple words, and yet so profound. And did you notice, by God's revelation, by God's revealing to us His definition of faith in His inspired word, as we are blessed to hear it again this morning, two words God uses to describe faith. And one is sure, or assurance. The other is certain, or conviction, as we see in the translation that was on the screen before us. But think about that. Sure and certain. And you know, and of course, the object of this faith is the one true living Almighty God, whom we gathered in His name this morning, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, three distinct persons, but in essence, one God, is the one who reveals this to us and reveals wonderful things about Himself. And so faith is really believing in God's character as God reveals His character to us, not only in His written word, but as God interacts with us and with the universe each and every day. And faith is believing in God's promises. And so we're going to consider God's character and His promises. But what is very evident is, apart from this God, the only God, because there's many little g gods that are worshipped in this nation and throughout the world, but security can only be found in the one true living Almighty God. If God is not in your life, you have no security. And without security, all kinds of horrible things begin to develop in an individual's life. You know, you think about marriage. If there is one spouse or the other that feels insecure in a relationship, if that isn't confronted and dealt with, that marriage probably will not last. Insecurity is so extremely destructive. Think about the shootings here a couple weeks ago or a couple weekends ago. How do you think, I wonder what the childhood was like for those two individuals. What I can assure to you is they felt very insecure in their lives. Because when you feel insecure within yourself, you're going to act out in a variety of ways. It was shared with me this morning that 26 out of 27 of the individuals that have been involved in mass shootings, the most recent of the 27, 26 did not have a father in their home. Did not have a father figure in their life. Think about that one. We don't hear that broadcasted all over the news, do we? But what does that breed? It breeds probably poverty for many, and even more so, and in that, not having a dad in their lives, insecurity. And then you think about not having the Lord in your life, thinking of our Heavenly Father who is unchanging and everlasting. Even if we lose our earthly father, or we never really have a father figure, if we know God, we have the greatest father figure. And we find absolute security within Him. You know, when you feel secure, you don't have a necessity to defend yourself. You can stand firm on what you know to be true, even if the whole world would turn against you. But again, this security can only be found in the one true Almighty God. And who is God? Well, we consider his character. And by the way, in your bulletins, there's an outline and these references, the majority of them, I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. But I would encourage you sometime today or this week to pull that outline out and look these passages up. God's word is so powerful. And speaking of God's character, what God reveals to us is that he is all powerful. Think about that. There is no power equal to, not even close, and certainly no power or authority that is higher than God. He is it. Do you believe that? God says, I am the God Almighty. And the Lord also says, there is no authority except from God. God lays it out there. He doesn't apologize for that. He simply states who he is. The majority of the world doesn't like to hear that, by the way. But God is who he is. God declares that he is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, we hear in Scripture, you are God. He is unchanging. God says, I, the Lord, do not change. He is all-knowing. Think about that. There is nothing hidden from God. He knows and sees all things. God affirms to us in Psalm 139 through the psalmist, you are familiar with all of my ways. Think how powerful that is and the security that brings knowing God's character of love when he says, I am familiar with all of your ways. He knows every detail of our lives. And then we see these beautiful outflowing of God's character and that he is faithful. And I love it in 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And so God's saying, you know, if you totally turn against me, I remain faithful to the promises I have given to you. Now, people that turn away from God say, I don't want your promises, God, and they disconnect themselves from them, but it doesn't change God's faithful heart to them and his desire that they would come back. God is present everywhere. Isn't that awesome? He is present everywhere. In the movie Risen, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the greatest movies on Christ's resurrection in my mind out there. But I think it was Thomas that was approached by the Roman guards, and they're seeking out Jesus' body. And of course, the apostles are declaring he's alive. And one of the soldiers asks Thomas, well, where is he? And Thomas gets the biggest grin on his face, and he says, he's everywhere. And it's so true. Jesus says, I am with you always. God declares his presence among us. He says, I fill heaven and earth. And what kind of God is filling heaven and earth? But one who is gracious. In Exodus 39, God declares he is compassionate, gracious, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God has a huge heart. And it's one of compassion and grace. And God affirms, you know, I'm not in competition with anybody, by the way. I am it. I am God. One, God says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And I love how God emphasizes this in Isaiah. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Wow, what a statement. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Boy, tell that to the Buddhists and the Muslims and, you know, people running after all kinds of stick gods created by man. But here's from the mouth of God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. And apart from God, there can be no security. Well, not only in God's character, and we could go on all day just in a study of God's character, but how about this about God's character? He is the creator of all things. Boy, is that a slap in the face in our culture today? In the land of evolution, The prominent teaching that's in our culture that's used to be presented when I was growing up, well, in my college years still, it kind of was tiptoed around as you know, being a theory. But you don't hear that anymore. It's just factual. You pick up any book, and if there's anything about how we got here, how this universe was developed, it's always consistently talking about the billions of years and talking about the accident and how this all happened. And there was no designer behind it. And certainly God is not mentioned at all. And creation would be a dirty word in most of these books. But that's what the world says. What does God say? Don't you love it? The very first verse of the very first chapter of Scripture. And God doesn't go into a long dissertation to prove this. Again, God is God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is the authority. And God just lays it out there to the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not really complicated, is it? And yet, so powerful. And what a blessing to know that you and I are not an accident. This universe is not an accident. But God created it perfectly in the beginning. Did you hear it in our epistle reading? It's through faith that we come to this conviction. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. There's security. Knowing that God is the mastermind behind all of this, that He spoke His Word and He called this incredible universe into place, and He sustains it each and every day. Do you ever just wake up in the morning and say, God, you are so awesome. You worked the miracle of another sunrise. Because it is a miracle in just how intricate and fine-tuned the universe is. But if you're going down the evolution road, it's like, it's an accident. I don't even know what's going to happen today. Talk about total insecurity. But to wake up and know that God created this day, to know that God created your individual life, which God clearly declares in Psalm 139, I love it. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. What kind of value does that place on your life, by the way? That God has knitted your life together. You're not an accident. And the unique person that you are, God has created you to be. That's absolute security. Knowing that the Almighty God would be that invested in my individual life. Yes, God has everything then under His control. And I declare, yes, everything. Now think about the insecurity that people are living under if they don't know God. How about climate change? You know, the one that I kind of chuckle at today, asteroids have been around forever. When I grew up, it was Russia was going to drop the nuclear bomb, you know, we had 300 Minuteman missiles with nuclear warheads planted all around our farm. And that was kind of the concern of that day. We never heard about asteroids. Now it's in the news feeds about every day. Oh my gosh, there's another asteroid. It's going to come close to Earth. And I think there's people that are terrified by that possibility. God says, I can just nudge that over a little bit. And He apparently does because the Earth is still here. I'm sure, Lance, you could probably give us all the details as in your field of work, retired from, of how many asteroids have come by the Earth close. But God's in charge. If He wants an asteroid to hit the earth, He'll allow it to happen. If not, it's not happening. That's quite a security, isn't it? That we can laugh at the news feeds knowing that God remains in control. You think about the threats of nuclear war still today. You think about superpowers throughout the world. You think of the evil and the corruptness that is out there. Can be downright terrifying. But we have 100% security because we know God. I hope everybody in this room trusts in him. And what a joy at Trinity Lutheran Church and School that we can openly teach and proclaim this incredible truth of who God is. And then we think about God's promises, and the greatest one, we see it just, you can't miss it coming into this sanctuary, the cross. And we're reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world at the exclusion of no one. You know, in the time of all the divisions and the hatred and the racism and all those things that are being flaunted out there today, if we would just look to God, and what does God say? I love the whole world. I don't care what color of your skin. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how rich you are or poor you may be. I don't care how corrupt your life has been. God says, I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, and there comes faith, which is certain and sure, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. There, in the work that Christ has accomplished for us, is absolute security. And, you know, if you ever in your mind, Satan loves to play with our minds and our sinful flesh. If you're thinking, you know, God, with things that seem to be going awry in my life, I wonder if you really love me, or are you punishing me? Or God, maybe it's true. You really don't want me to be part of your family. And you notice where that shift is going? It's going down that road of absolute insecurity. And it leads to despair. But all we need to do is listen. And God makes it clear, for God so loved the world. You can write your name in there and be true to the text. And then we hear in 1 Timothy, God reemphasizes, God our Savior, can't be more clear than this. God our Savior wants all men, by the way, that includes you ladies and all the children in the room, it's humankind. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And by the way, there is no other way. There is no other way to security. There is no other way to the security of everlasting life than through Jesus Christ, who has come and died for the sins of the world, who rose victoriously from the grave, who lives, and who promises, I am with you always. Think about that. The one who died for you individually promises to you individually, I am with you. How long? Always. Not part of the time. God doesn't get distracted, but always. And we are totally dependent upon the work that Christ has done. In Romans, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if we ever get on that kick of thinking somehow, God, there was something about me that was so good that you just had to save me, that works for a while until we're not so good anymore, even by our own estimation, when we really horribly fall into sin. And then if we're down that road of security that it's in our own self and how worthy we are by what we've done or the person we are, that just gets shattered. It gets demolished. And again, we're down the road of despair and insecurity. But listen to what Jesus says through the Apostle Paul. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not about me, it's all about he, right? And we praise God for the victory won through the gift of his Son. And you know, being God's child, talk about security. God is intimately involved in our lives. God says he is our refuge and our strength. Think about that. refuge, a safe place, strength. We've got the Almighty God in our court with us. And knowing that, we have nothing to fear, and God declares that. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And that's Psalm 46. And then we hear of all these catastrophic events, but we don't have to be afraid in them. Why? Because God's in control of the catastrophic events, and He loves us, and He is with us, and He's not going to desert us. In fact, Jesus opens His loving arms to us and says, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What is rest? It's peace. And what is peace? It's security in knowing how loved we are by God. And then talk about God's intimate involvement in our lives. Do you realize that God has a plan for every individual's life in this room? And maybe we've kind of gone off the path once in a while. Hopefully we've been kind of with God in this journey. But in Ephesians 2:10, this is such an incredible verse. And if you ever question how intimately involved God is in your life, listen to these words. "For we are God's workmanship." We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And then I love this part, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. So we have our Trinity staff over here. It's not by accident that you guys are here, that you're involved in this ministry at Trinity at this time in your lives. It's part of the journey that God is leading you on. And you know, in the future, we don't always know where this journey is going to go. We know in the end it will be in glory in heaven. But sometimes it's like a bunch of puzzle pieces just piled out on the floor, right? It's like, "God, I don't get it. I mean, I think I should be here now. But Lord, where do you want me to be tomorrow or next year?" But that's a key question. Lord, where do you want me to be? But be careful with that prayer, because God will reveal it. Because He has work prepared in advance for each one of us to do. Isn't that amazing? I never cease to be amazed at how active God is in our lives. And of course, Jesus, before He ascended out of sight visibly into heaven, says, "Hey, even though you can't see me, I'm still here with you. I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." And at the end of the age, where are we going to be as God's people? But in heaven. In heaven. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever believes in me will never die." Is that security or what? I mean, you can't have a statement greater than that one, and it's God's inerrant word that says even death will not harm you, let alone destroy you. But death is simply transitioning from life on earth as God's precious child who trusts in Jesus Christ, a child of faith, to life in glory for eternity. Wow. The future, all established through Jesus, who says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Don't you love it when Jesus says there's many rooms? Some translations, mansions in heaven. Be just grand and glorious. It's our future. That's our destination. Revelation 7 and 21, you may want to read. We hear about the multitudes that no one can count. From all races, from all nations and languages, God does not discriminate. It's all who believe and trust in Him are gathered in glory with Him. And oh, the heavenly feast, the best of meats, the finest of wines, we hear in Isaiah. Can't wait for that. And of course, death will be swallowed up forever. What do you think? Is that security? You know what really saddens me, though, is that probably 70% of this nation would not acknowledge most of those things. I've read stats where less than 20% of the population in our area all along the Front Range is active in worship anywhere. And then you think of what's being promoted in our education system. God bless, and we're celebrating all education today, not only Trinity. God bless our Christian teachers that are here with us, that are in the public school world. You guys are really on the front lines of battle. And for our students here that are out in public school, all of our kids went through public school. Talk about a wonderful opportunity for witness and outreach and ministry, and God bless you all for the tremendous work that you do, and it takes courage. Here at Trinity, it's pretty easy. We're all kind of in the same place. But there's a place for us too. And the important thing is that our younger generations, our kids, are learning these truths. Because without them, life is going to be a mess, an absolute disharmony and turmoil. Think about hot button issues in our culture today, like respect for life. If you have this foundation, we honor life. We know how precious and valuable life is. God has created it. It pushes racism out the window, right? Or any other kind of divisive thing. It should. We're empowered with self-control, that we're not motivated by the law, but we're motivated by the gospel. Knowing how much we are loved by Christ, we're not going to pick up a gun and go out and shoot people to celebrate that. You know, I grew up in a small town in Nebraska, and this would shock most people today. Virtually every farm kid, including myself, had a gun rack in your pickup. In our parking lot at school, there were, I don't know how many 12-gauge guns, how many 22 rifles, how many high-powered rifles. Usually we had one of each. You didn't know which you would need if you saw a creature you were going to shoot at. Never had a school shooting. And as of this time in Kimball County, Nebraska, there's never been a school shooting. Why? The guns are all over the place. It's because generally in rural areas, at least in my era of growing up, most people had this foundation. That's not our world today. So, I commend the parents that are here from our school here at Trinity. I commend the parents that are here with your kids in our family of Trinity. Because you are giving to your kids the most important thing, the most important one. In closing, I was really rushed this week. I wanted to have a picture of Snuggles to put on the screen. But you know, our pets, we can kind of see in a way how God relates to us. Snuggles, he's a Maine Coon. He's almost 17 years old. He's about 14 pounds, and he's the most loving animal I've ever had. But when Snuggles was 11 years old, no, younger than that, he's had diabetes now for 11 years. So about at 6 years old, he got diabetes. And guess what I have to do to this little kitty that I love so much? I have to give him shots twice a day. And I know that can't feel good. I hate shots. But I give him a shot twice a day. How do you think Snuggles reacts to that? Do you know that he comes and waits for a shot? I'm inflicting pain on him. But you know, that kitty knows that Lindy and I, we love him and that we would not do something to harm him. And even though he can't maybe understand fully, I think he knows this somehow makes him feel better. But every time I look at that cat that I'm kind of the master of, it always reminds me of the master. There's things we can't understand that God allows or does, but what we do know is that he loves, and he loves you and me individually. And with that, like with this little kitty, not a care in the world, absolute security. May God bless us in this journey of security into glory together. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who has opened the gates of heaven for us and one day will welcome us into glory, but in the meantime is with us always. Amen.